Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
That is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Podcast, episode 38, Sunday, April 15th, I think, right? April 15th?
You got it, Jeff. Yes. It's April 15th. I got to say, also, I'm feeling great. I'm back. I'm back, guys.
Gallbladder's so, not fucking with you anymore.
Girl bought a new gallbladder. You put it in the other day, right? Is that how that works?
It doesn't work like that. I 3D printed a gallbladder. It's actually a fucking hollowed out lacrosse ball.
Makes sense. So that's good. You're better. So we had two good movies last week for the most part, even though we disagreed, I think, a little bit here and there. This week's going to be different. We're seeing Rampage and Isle of Dogs. Isle of Dogs is liked by most, one of them not being true. You said it was just okay.
No, I liked it. I didn't love it as much. I was going through the reviews last night, and you get these critics, and they're like, Isle of Dogs is a technical and emotional masterpiece from the master himself, Wes Anderson. And that wasn't resonating with me. I watched Isle of Dogs, and I was just like, yeah, probably didn't have to see this one in theater. It was just okay.
Do you think, though, that is a... Because I was thinking about this when you talked about it. I feel like maybe critics are afraid to say they don't like Wes Anderson movies. Not that there'd be backlash, but like I feel like if you straight up say you don't like one, you come off as somebody who doesn't appreciate art or film.
I don't know. I'm normally a Wes Anderson fan, so don't get me wrong. And I still am a Wes Anderson fan. This was good. It just... Let me put it this way. It was kind of boring. I was trying to explain it to my wife yesterday, and sorry for the sick wife brag, but I said it was boring, but yet delightful. And she was like, how could it be delightful if it's boring? And I'm like, well, you know, it's like every other Wes Anderson thing. Like visually, it's really cool looking. There are some like funny jokes. The voice acting was really good, but like overall, the story was just kind of boring. And I don't know about the critics, but yeah, you might be right. They might be afraid to come out and let loose on Wes Anderson because they lose some cred, but hey, I'm going to give this movie a 70. I think I might think about it a little bit before the pod. And I don't think that's a bad score. I think anytime we do this, if we convert it over into stars and we say like 3.5 stars out of 5, it sounds less severe than saying a 70, not a bad score, but I didn't love it as much as some people were just fucking loving it in Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it has a 91% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes, 87% audience score, but the like numbered score from the critics is 81, so an 80, well, so an 81. The listeners, it's 4.2, so that's about in the 80s if you try to double it up. So it's up there, but I don't know. Ken, Jack, and I haven't seen it yet, and we're actually seeing it tomorrow with the next movie we're about to talk about, one you're not excited to see, Troll Ballins. Ken, Jack, and I are going to go see Rampage tomorrow morning at 10:30 in the morning. Which I don't know, that it sounds a little horrifying because for some reason these big budget like explosion movies, I'm thinking of Transformers, and there's nothing worse to wake up to than like watching a Transformers movie. So I'm not sure the gorilla and the alligator and the flying wolf will be exactly what we want at 10 o'clock in the morning, but I know Ken Jack's probably pretty excited for it. So yeah, we'll be seeing it tomorrow. Then we're in a double feature. We're going to let the listeners decide. If Ken Jack doesn't see Isle of Dogs today, we're going to see that tomorrow. But if he does, then we're going to let listeners decide what our double feature second movie is, which the options aren't great. Let me just put it that way.
Can't wait to see Tyler Perry's Acrimony.
I mean, it's going to be Tyler Perry's Acrimony. That's what people are going to pick. So, I mean, there's really not a...
Rampage. I'm trying to think about Rampage. Rampage is like the Dwayne Johnson movie I've been the least excited for. And going back like the last couple of years. It's just... I'd almost wish they'd just make San Andreas too.
All it makes me want to do is play the game. That's really what it makes me want to do. And actually, that's what we're going to talk about here. Rampage is now the number one video game movie of all time on Rotten Tomatoes.
With like 53%.
With a 50%.
Oh, yeah, there you
it's
go.
So far, it's beaten Tomb Raider by 1%. And The Rock did a bit of a victory lap on Twitter. And he tweeted, and he's very self-aware, which I always appreciate from The Rock. He's very genuine. He says, wow, very cool Rampage news. Not pointing to the scoreboard yet, which I love, because like he's like, I could tank below 50, but it seems we may have finally broken the dreaded video game curse. Like, I didn't... apparently, I'd be a 50% or above. And remember, I starred in the stinker Doom, so I've lived the curse.
Then the Doom account responded and took umbrage with that comment. I didn't think Doom was all that bad. It definitely was not good. But
Doom's like first person moment at the end was actually very cool, I thought. But I mean, it didn't save the movie.
And The Rock kind of has an out, because even when The Rock makes a bad movie, he has that, like, I know I just made a bad movie. And there's nothing you can do about it, because you're not coming to see the movie, you're coming to see me, Dwayne Johnson. So I give him props to that. Pretty low bar for the video game movie thing. I mean, it shocks me if I don't think about it, but then when I think about actual video game movies, I'm like not surprised. But I also need to say, like, Rampage may be the most like loosely considered video game movies. It's like, you know, it's based off of a video game, but it's like an 8-bit NES game. So there's not much like depth to go off of there. You're taking the general concept of there are monsters destroying a city in the game and you're calling it a video game movie. Kind of seems a little unfair to something like Tomb Raider, which was based off of a PlayStation 4 game.
I don't mind. All props to Rampage being the valedictorian of summer school. Good for them, I say.
Yeah, very impressive. So let's go down this list, though, because this is actually a really fun list to look at. Rotten Tomatoes, 47 video game-based movies ranked of all time. So number one is now Rampage. Number two, like I said, was the newest Tomb Raider. So that right there, like, I mean, yes, it's very possible that two movies in a row could back-to-back be considered of their genre the best of all time. But that's just, like, that shows how bad they're. Like, the last two released are now one and two. What are the other three in the top five? You guys have any guesses?
Prince of Persia. Mm.
Nope.
No, dude, that one was critically panned. I'm thinking... What can you tell me the lower distribution of the top five is like 35% or 40%?
So number only six of them have above a 40%. Prince of Persia was number six at 36%.
Ah,
close enough.
One of them was a recent movie with Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, damn.
Jason Sudeikis video game movie.
See, this one, you're going to overthink this one, because you're going to say, oh, yeah, that is a video game. But you're probably thinking too much along the lines of like Doom, Tomb Raider, like Rampage.
No, like this is like an Atari game or something like that.
No. It's recent. It's recent. And it's based off a recent game. No, want another hint?
Yeah.
Mobile game.
Oh, Angry Birds.
Yeah. Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't consider that one. I didn't hate the Angry Birds. I was at Best Buy last night looking for an OLED TV, which I didn't realize were still so expensive. Mm-hmm. And this dude was, you know, some Best Buys have that Magnolia like side center, which is like their premium TV and sound products. They had those TVs set up and then they had the chair set up. Some dude was just sitting there in a chair watching the DVD intro loop to Angry Birds over and over.
That sounds like horror.
I was like, damn, like they can't even like press play for this $6,000 TV. I guess the OLED TVs do look great, man. I was trying to convince my wife. She was like, hey, you know, let's get a new TV. It doesn't have to be that expensive. And I'm like, at this point, there's no point not buying an OLED TV because look how black the blacks are. It just looks phenomenal.
Yep.
And then they're like $3,000. So I don't know, guys. Anyway, back to the video game. It's not Need for Speed in the top five because that one was shit on pretty hard with Aaron Paul.
Assassin's Creed.
Number five. So Angry Birds is four. Number five. So again, I don't like this one doesn't count. So actually, maybe Prince of Persia really is number five because it's the Pokemon movie. I Choose You, the one where Pokemon speaks. Pikachu speaks. But that really hasn't been distributed wide, so I don't count that. So we'll say Prince of Persia is five, Angry Birds is four. Three is a movie in a long-like line of movies, and this is a very popular video game.
Is it animated?
It is not.
I'm not considering a very popular video game long line of movies.
Damn. Actually, it is animated. It is animated.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like CGI animated, right?
Yes.
Fucking, okay, no fuck. Idea. Final Fantasy?
How to Train Your Dragon?
It is. I don't know. It is. It's Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
That
Alec Baldwin classic. Yeah, that's in at 45%.
Oh, nice.
There's some other ones on here. Resident Evil's on here a bunch. Mortal Kombat's at 30. Mortal Kombat is in the top 10 at 34%.
That's kind of wild.
The Resident Evil movies, I actually enjoy the Resident Evil movies. They get it. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. Need for Speed is 19 at 22%. Doom is still... he talks about being part of the curse. Doom is still a top 25 video game movie of all time. 19% at number 23.
Is Mario Brothers the lowest on that list? Or did it not make the movie since it was top of all time? And I'm going to draw it off here.
Number 25 is Ratchet and Clank at 17%. Let's get down to the bottom.
They made a movie off of Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Paul Giamatti.
I don't really? See them.
Yeah, John Goodman too, I believe.
What? See. Where's Mario? Oh, okay. Super Mario Brothers is number 14%. What number would you think that is?
Like fucking 30.
No, the Super Mario Brothers probably like a 13% Rotten Tomatoes score.
No, 14% Rotten Tomatoes, but what number on the list do you think it is?
Oh, I know shit. 42.
It's 31. The original Pokemon movies are up there. But okay, let's go to the bottom. What's the worst video game movie on Rotten Tomatoes? Only two have a 0%. You definitely won't guess. The other game you've definitely heard of. No, the second to worst is Alone in the Dark with Christian Slater, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Made by U-Bowl. It is horrible. Mortal Kombat Annihilation's up there. Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li is up there. Silent Hill Revelation. Double Dragon. Hitman. But this one is at 0%.
I was going to say Double Dragon, but I don't think
that's it. Is it Postal?
No, Postal's down there too. Postal's 7%. Top.
That was another U-Bowl banger, right? Postal?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
What about Hitman?
Oh, that sucked. Both of them.
Hitman is top 10.
Our boy... 10. Our boy, Timothy what's his name? Yeah, yeah. They're still trying to guess the lowest ranked one, huh?
Wing Commander, maybe another one. That one sucked.
What about Max Payne? Where's Max Payne?
Max Payne almost made the top 25 at 16%.
Jesus Max Payne fucking sucked.
All right, you want it?
What about DOA, Dead or Alive?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know yet.
Tekken. Ooh.
There's a Tekken movie?
Yeah, that's 0%. Yeah, worst rated video game movie, Tekken.
Jesus Christ.
I guess there is a Tekken movie.
Yep. Who crazy. Is in this? I mean, no one that I think you would know off the top of your head. But yeah, that's the worst one. Though I think in terms of big budget, if we look along like big budget movies on here, Mortal Kombat's probably up there, Street Fighter. Hitman definitely up there. Hitman had a lot of like known people in it. Super Mario Brothers. I mean, that Super Mario Brothers is probably the biggest failure on the list, though, for what it is and the source material and how abysmal it was.
It's funny though, because they could probably make a pretty decent CGI animated Super Mario Brothers movie nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm wondering, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Nintendo's just a little protective after what happened to them. They're like, we got burned in the past.
Dude, yeah. They didn't license anything out after that movie, and that's been like, what now, 20-something years.
People always clamor for like a Legend of Zelda movie, too. I've like on the video game forums I'm at with Game Master Anthony and the family.
Game Master Anthony, man.
But yeah, the issue with video game movies is people want these big epic movies, but video games take like 20 to 40 hours to complete. So it's really hard to tell this story. And they're also very basic stories to begin with. You can't really get the same type of video game story going on the big screen. Just roll your eyes.
Yeah. So, Rampage, best video game movie of all time.
We'll see. We'll see.
And it's like loosely based off of it too. It's not even like a true, like straight up, like it's just the monsters really.
The coolest thing about Rampage to me is that Ford Bronco concept prototype they have in that movie. That thing looks so dated, even for a prototype. It's like made back during that retro car craze. Like, well, we're gonna make a car look like an old car, and he's in it.
I do hope there are some like Easter eggs though from the video game. I think you said it last episode where like the building smashes and you see someone like taking a shower.
Yeah,
like you see things. I need some Easter eggs. I loved that game.
Well, it's weird because Rampage is based off of King Kong, so really, the Rampage movie is the sequel to King Kong in a way.
Yeah,
King Kong that sucks too. True.
King Kong
was an awful movie. That was an awful movie.
Like the original King Kong?
Like the 30s one? No, I mean like the Jack Black, Adrian Brody one.
Oh, the that one did suck. I like Skull Island.
Too. I didn't like Skull
no,
Island.
No, I liked that. I thought that was entertaining. I think the original King Kong probably sucks. We're not big film guys, so I haven't seen it. But I know that movie was made in the 30s, so it probably sucks.
Oh, for sure.
It's like the whole mixtape old NBA players debate with movies. Exactly. Fucking
like a fucking sock puppet playing King Kong. Yeah, it sucks, man. Compared to like a CGI gorilla that's in Rampage.
Yeah, they had better special effects at Chuck E. Cheese's locations in the mid-80s than they did in the 1930s. So I don't expect King Kong to be good. Okay, so let's also look at the rest of 2018. Skyscraper is his next big one. So that's pretty ambitious. Skyscraper is going to be released July 13th. So he's had a run of Jumanji, Rampage, and Skyscraper. And then he's going to finish off the year with a documentary he's in called Fighting With My Family, which really isn't like shouldn't count because it's just a documentary on like family and wrestler business. But on Wikipedia, it has nothing listed beyond 2018. So I wonder what he's up to. And this is like one of those weird things where he'd been promoting Rampage for so long, like in 2016, that I felt like he'd been coming out for 2 years, but I don't see him promoting anything right now. So I'm in the dark of what Dwayne The Rock Johnson's doing. And I don't like that.
So, yeah, you usually would see something else for 2019. Yeah, I don't know.
See Hobbs and Shaw for 2019, and he's rumored to be in Suicide Squad 2.
Oh,
that actually gets Hobbs that. Yeah. No, right. That actually makes me excited for a Suicide Squad 2.
He's going to play Black Adam, who I don't know what that is. I'm not a DC guy.
Black Adam is actually going to potentially be in Shazam, which is actually what we're about to talk about next. So let's just roll into it. Shazam, this is funny. I laughed at this because this is one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, because usually when it comes to comic book movies, and when I mean weirdest things I've ever seen, I mean like in terms of comic book movies. It's not that fucking weird. But with comic book movies, typically people get slandered or criticized when they get cast and the way things look. Like Brie Larson, when they first showed what she looked like in one of the costumes she'll wear for, I almost said Miss Universe, for Captain Marvel. Like they just said, like nobody replied. Just like, okay, whatever. And then the director's like, yeah, there's more suits. Just like patience. The Zachary Levi Shazam thing, people were hating on it, and he has replied to everything. He's just like taking it head on. He's like, fuck you, like stop talking shit about my movie and about my costume. And so people were making fun of him. They're like, oh, the superhero costume for Shazam is padded, like he's not even that strong, like he's not that ripped, like they put fake muscles in. So he posted a photo of him shirtless working out just to prove that the costume like wasn't overly padded, that he's really strong. I've never seen anyone, like, in terms of comic book movies, especially recently, like, try and stunt on people. Like, it's usually, and maybe it's because it's DC, usually, like, Marvel, like, they're like, just shut up, it's a Marvel movie, it'll be okay. Like, when they were filming Age of Ultron, they had this, like, frumpy-looking extra or, like, stunt double wearing, like, this Ultron costume. It looked so stupid. But everyone knew, like, okay, let them film the movie. Zachary Levi, oh, man, he is taking no one's shit right now about this.
The funniest thing about it is that even though he showed off his muscles, like, he still is very clearly very much padded, his suit. Like, a lot. Yeah. It looks like an inflatable fucking, like floaty or something stuffed into it. Also, I don't know if you saw, but Henry Cavill commented on it, too. And he's like, yeah, hard work pays off, blah, blah, blah. It's like, Henry, you are much more jacked than Zachary Levi will ever be in his entire life. Cavill even refused to do any padding or CGI enhancement on his muscles when he played Superman. He said, I'm just going to do the work and get that big. And Zachary Levi's just being a little bitch boy, crying about his costume. Like, dude, you literally look like an inflatable floaty. So just, like, fucking accept it.
One of the rules of online, and I'll stand by this, is anytime you post a picture of yourself shirtless as a response, you've been fucking owned.
Yeah. Like, talking to you, Matt McGorry.
There's no reason to post a picture of yourself shirtless and reply to somebody online, especially if somebody's attacking you. It's like one of those things where, like, I'm a 55-year-old dad on T replacement therapy, and I'm on Twitter, and I'm trying to prove, like, how jacked and fit I am to start dating, like, 32-year-olds. I don't know. I don't like that move. I don't. Whenever somebody's this defensive over something, you know it's because there's definitely a pain point that's been hit.
It's something you expect, like, Jim Irsay to do if somebody called him fat. I wouldn't expect fucking Zach Levi to do it. It's like, you're 27. You know, like, you're in shape or however old he is.
He's not 27. He's like 37, isn't he?
He didn't do Chuck when he was 18. Like, old.
I have never seen Chuck.
I know, but you know Chuck exists, right?
No. I will promise you, I had very minimal exposure to the show Chuck.
Yeah, I don't watch it either, but when did it come out? He's really young in that, though.
He's fucking...
2007.
He's quote-tweeting people and then responding with Apple Notes screenshots to them.
Oh, man, he's corn-cobbing right now. Oh, no. I'm gonna tweet him right now. I don't know if
He's 37. He's 37.
Jesus Christ.
He did Chuck when he was 27.
I don't know if this one is related to this the Shazam thing. I think it might be like a political thing. I think it was like on the I don't want to get into it. But yeah, there's definitely screenshots of notes where he's replying to people. And I don't know, man.
It's surprising. And he's a good looking dude too. Like, he doesn't need to be stunting on people online. He's good looking. He's in better shape than all three of us. Like, he looks good. Like, fucking put the weights down. You're fine. Stop replying to people about your goofy. The suit looks goofy. Just, like, admit it. Like, it's a weird looking suit.
Dude, if I was famous, like, in any way and had money, if I had enough money to where I got to be selective about what jobs I could take, there's no fucking way I'd be on social media. That's one thing I just do not get. I do not get why people like Zachary Levi, like, actually want to be on Twitter engaging with people. It just seems like the most miserable thing in the world to me.
I'm going to tweet Zach Levi right now.
I'm not going to tweet him. I'm sure he's a perfectly fine guy. There's no point in getting mad online about a fucking superhero movie. You just Streisand effect yourself into people thinking that this you actually are padding because you're getting so defensive about saying there is no padding. Like, now I think there's more padding now. Now, actually, because he's so defensive about it, I think the shirtless pictures and the workout photos are pure CGI.
It's Photoshopped.
Ken Jack tweeted him ripped SpongeBob just now.
Anchor arms.
That's right. That's right.
He was married to Missy Peregrim, who is in Stick It, the gymnastics movie. Remember that one?
No.
2005 movie. Kurt Russell. Was it Kurt Russell or Jeff Bridges? I don't know. I get them confused quite often.
Oh, yeah. Young Jeff Bridges looks a lot like Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Like, not now. Like, not Jeff Bridges now, but, like, 90s OOs Kurt Russell, Jeff Bridges. I have no fucking idea.
It was Jeff Bridges.
Was it Jeff Bridges? Yeah. Now that I think back, that role seems under Kurt Russell.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges, Academy Award winner, I believe. So.
Yeah. I don't know, though. Gotta get that money.
I mean, Kurt Russell's gotten that money, too. He delivered Coronas to Vin Diesel in Fast and the Furious for two straight movies, so it's possible.
And what was the beer he liked? Blue Moon?
Was it? I forget what he likes.
Like, Vin Diesel likes Corona, but then, like, wasn't he like, God, I could sure go for a Belgian-style ale right now.
Triple Stout Nitro IPA. Well, I mean, my family stand for the anthem.
I don't know. I haven't watched that in a while. Okay, Zachary Levi, come on, man. Come on the pod, talk to us. Yell at us. Come tell us that we're inferior to you. We can have you as our guest, but stop yelling at people on Twitter.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. He's way more successful and attractive than I am in every way, shape, or form. I'm not hating. I'm just saying that if you're in a point where you're arguing with people online and you don't have to do that, like, don't do it. Don't put yourself through that. Like, just don't fucking start a fire for yourself.
Just log off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Log off.
Yeah. Like, regular people like us are online because we're fucking frustrated with our lives and we need to vent as we sit in like a 1x1 cube. You have that much money to just say, like, I'm going to go to fucking Jamaica today and lay on the beach and take a private jet back to New York same day. Like, and then you're going to tweet that I'm like, no, I'm actually working out. It's like, come on, man.
Whatever, man.
So
fucking electric banana factory.
Let's move on. Truth or Dare. That's a movie we have to review soon, though. We may have to delay that one because that one is just not in as many theaters. It's actually not in the theater that Ken Jack and I see. So if it's not in that theater, it can't be in many places. But Blumhouse Truth or Dare, which I think they changed the title to Being Blumhouse Truth or Dare, which is a marketing ploy because Blumhouse has had some great movies recently, made Get Out. And we're going to look at Blumhouse filmography in a minute because it's fascinating. It has a 15% of Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 21% user rating. It has a 1.7 out of 5 stars from audience. That's really fucking low. Like, usually, like 20s to 10s, like ratings, like you still see like sometimes above 2s. That's really bad. That's like, that's abysmal.
Plus, this is a really self-selecting audience. The only people seeing this movie are teens, and teens fucking love these types of movies. So it has to be really bad. But Teen Wolf is in it. Scott McCall, Teen Wolf. He's Tyler Posey or whatever.
So this may get you more excited to see it. Lucy Hale, the actress who is the main star of the movie, she showed up to her red carpet and she tweeted about this. Also, hold on. The Bye Bye Man has a 2.3 out of 5 from the audience. So that's just, I mean, take that into effect. She showed up to the red carpet with an Elvira-inspired look.
Ooh. Thinking about that pinball, baby.
That pinball machine.
So I don't
fucking
know.
That wild to do this. It's April. We're releasing this horror movie in April, and you're showing up as Elvira in fucking April. You might as well just dress like the Easter Bunny for Thanksgiving.
So Truth or Dare, 15%. Duck Duck Goose is on its way out, and Tag is coming out as well very soon. So the childhood game cinematic universe is strong right now. Not very excited to see this movie is basically my point. And there were some people who were saying, oh, let's wait. Blumhouse makes good movies. Like, let's read some things recently from Blumhouse. You had Insidious The Last Key, not the worst thing of all time. Happy Death Day, which most of us except for Ken Jack liked. Get Out. Split. So last year, a pretty good year. Split, some people like, some people hate it. I enjoyed Split. Get Out,
boy,
obviously.
Virk didn't like that very much.
No, he did not, no.
I didn't, Get Out didn't challenge him on that. I felt like it would have been rude.
Get Out, as we know, was an Oscar winner, so that's, you don't have to really say much on that one. The Belko Experiment, people didn't love, but it was something different. They've had some stinkers, the Purge movies, but The Gift, that's another good one. I really like The Gift. That was a movie I didn't expect to like that much. But this all started in 2009. Blumhouse came out with Paranormal Activity, then 2010, Paranormal Activity 2, then Insidious and Paranormal Activity 3 in 2011, and then just a lot of horror movies. The Purge, Insidious Chapter 2, Paranormal Activity 4 or 5, 13 Sins, 2014, what else? Ouija, Jezebel, The Boy Next Door, then Whiplash. So, just a major fucking heel turn. Just like, oh, here's an Oscar-nominated Damien
Chazelle.
Miles Teller
was the villain in Whiplash.
And then, right back to Sinister 2, Paranormal Activity again, Gem and the Holograms, so another heel turn of just not horror movies. And then back to horror movies up until now, which has mostly been horror movies. So Blumhouse is weird, but they've had a lot of successes. People thought this one might be like that, because Happy Death Day, like, I mean, when we saw the trailers, we're like, that is not going to be a good movie. Same thing with Truth or Dare, but apparently this one is, it's abysmal. It's really bad. Like, very, very bad. Yeah, so Ken Jackie.
Wow.
The last couple of horror movies, though. The last couple horror movies that you kind of had to admit you've liked, though, to a certain extent, because they've not been bad. But
Quiet Place and what else?
You're I don't know. Maybe I'm making that up, but you're winding up for this.
It's totally made up. It's one movie.
You're winding up for this one, though.
It is kind of insane, though. These Blumhouse movies, like Insidious, budget $1.5 million, box office $97 million. The Purge,
that's crazy.
Budget $3 million, box office $89 million. Paranormal Activity, budget $15,000.
I mean, Get Out's budget was $4.5 million. Get Out is considered a low budget horror film. That's incredible. Like, that really is wild. So was Split. So was The Gift.
Yeah. Well, on the wiki, now I'm looking at it, Blumhouse produces low budget horror films. That's like straight up in the description of the movie studio. Wow.
And they have a lot of upcoming films too. They have like six or seven more in 2018, one for 2019, which is Glass, the sequel to Split, or not sequel to Split, but this kind of the sequel to Split, and then the sequel to, what was the other one? Unforgivable, what was it called? With
Shit. You just broke my brain. I just had it in my mind. Indestructible? No, fuck.
So now I'm going down this this rabbit hole of like low budget movies that made the most money. I'm thinking Blair Witch Project is probably the most successful.
Has to be.
What? Successful out of horror movies?
Budgetary wise.
No, like I'm talking about like box office to budget. Like,
oh yeah.
Let's say you cap the budget at $1 million. What movie has made the most money off of that? So Blair Witch was like $60,000. Box office was $250 million, $1999. Pretty wild.
Yeah, that had to be the best one ROI wise.
So let's, I have a couple pulled up here. Rocky budget was $1 million, made $225 million. Night of the Living Dead was $114,000 back in 1968. It made $30 million. Super Size Me. I see Morgan Spurlock. Actually, I gotta bleep that out. Can't say his name. $65,000, $29 million.
Wait, Mad did they Max get Morgan Spurlock?
Oh yeah, he had to like step down from some things and apologize.
Oh man, fuck that dude.
Yeah, fuck him for Super Size Me anyway, though. We've talked about that. Asshole. Got rid of the Super Size Fry. Mad Max, $200,000, $99,750,000. But yeah, actually, there you go. Blair Witch Project. It's the biggest budget to box office ratio success of all time. $35,000 to $248 million. A 1 to 7,094 ratio. That's crazy.
That is wild, man.
Good for them.
Good for the Blair Witch.
Good for her. All right, last news item, then we're gonna do some listener questions. And this one, I actually wanted to talk about this one last week, but there's sometimes like news stories we see and they're like in that weird cycle between episodes and we forget about them. And this one luckily popped back up. This one really, I didn't like this one, and we have to judge this one hard. Have you seen this one? This dude set ground rules for his girl. Infinity War girlfriend story. This dude set ground rules for his girl in terms of watching Infinity Wars, by the way, and I'm blown away. Have you seen this one? Like, what?
No,
he said
I haven't seen this. Okay. I haven't heard about it.
Okay, so here's the text. Friday, April 27th, 8 p.m. Infinity War, you going with me? I just ordered 2 tickets. And she replies, yes dear. And he goes, okay,
it's
here
fake.
Are the ground
it's fake. That's fake because nobody fucking says yes, dear.
I don't. Okay.
This whole thing's fucking fake.
Well, don't ruin it from the start.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I'm just go ahead.
I'll buy you whatever you want before the movie. Candy, popcorn, drinks, even a hot dog. Even a hot dog.
Damn, wow. Dude.
But you can't ask for anything during the movie. Number two, no talking during the movie. I can't be distracted. You got questions? Write them down. I'll answer them when it's over. Number three, no hand holding. It'll distract me and I'll miss things. I've waited 10 years to see. Save your cooties until post-credit scenes. Scenes, the S in parentheses, just in case. Or in brackets. Kissing also applies. Woke. Number four, if a main character dies, we cry together. If you ain't crying, you walking home. I need you invested in this. Number five, if you cancel the movie date, I'll need 24 hours notice that I may replace you with a suitable viewer, most likely Jesse. If you cancel last minute, I have to watch alone. You'll be hearing from my lawyer. Huh. And then he talked about
what,
someone
what the fuck's wrong with watching a movie alone?
I know. Yeah, fuck this guy.
Wait, no, but this is what I don't get. It sounds like he wants to fucking see this movie alone. So why not just go alone and have an empty seat next to you? This is why it's fake. Sorry.
And then number six was about somebody coming in and I don't want to read that because it's not funny. But he ends it with saying following all the rules, dude. Learn how to like speak, man. Following all rules will warrant a trip to your favorite ice cream place after the movie. Any questions?
If this is real, this dude sounds horrible and fuck him.
Yeah, so that's my thing.
But I don't think it's real.
No, probably not.
Because you don't make up okay, you said girlfriend, right? If this guy was 50 years old and his girlfriend responds, yes, dear, maybe I'd buy it. But there is no woman under the age of 40 who would say yes, dear to anything, especially via text.
Are we really in on the teen lexicon? They might be bringing back old shit. Maybe they're saying stuff like knucklehead. I don't know.
What are your teens texting? No idea. Yes, dear, might mean I eat ass.
Pass the meth. Dude, I appreciate this guy setting some ground rules. You know, he respects himself. And, you know, that's what us kings are on in 2018. You know, you set a standard for yourself. Us men, we're tremendous, huge pieces of shit, and we just deserve more. So set your standard, king.
I mean, this has to be fake. And two, it probably is a Reddit post for karma, so that's fine. Because it sounds like it was created by somebody who's never had a girlfriend. Because if you've actually been in a relationship and go to a movie with somebody, and like you actually like the person, you'll know that they will not do any of those things.
Dude, it was 100% made by a Reddit user, like Naruto Crab Cakes 27.
I've never had a girlfriend, but I would imagine if I did have a girlfriend, what it would be like is. She'd fucking ask a bunch of questions during Infinity War. You know, like that's what girlfriends be like that. Guys, girlfriends do be like that, right? Am I right, boys? Am I right? Like the girl, like when you go to Infinity War and your girl be like, she'd be like, who's the great guy? And you're like, that's Hulk. It sometimes be like that, bro. I'm sorry. This is fake, but it's stupid. Like, if you have any rules for people you go see a movie with, just go fucking alone.
If it's real, though, this guy can get fucked, right?
Yeah.
Like, this guy can get
fucked.
Like, this guy sucks.
Here's some rules for Infinity War. One, thou doth not touch my shoulder when I am climaxing during the end of Infinity War. It distracts me from my joking relief.
From user incel Anthony 29.
When I am driving to the movie theater and listening to the Infinity War soundtrack, please
all
do
right,
not.
Well, all right, that's not in the trash. People listening to soundtracks now. That is not incel behavior. Oh, let's all take a big step back.
If I had a girlfriend, and I would imagine that she would be very kind and attractive, and she would smell nice. And she would go see Infinity War with me. But if she broke any of the rules, then I'm taking Jesse.
I'm putting a hole in the popcorn. You know what I'm talking about, right, fellas?
The guys on the podcast told me to order the Bavarian Legend. And then they fucking insulted me on the podcast the next week.
We're sorry, Game Master Anthony. We didn't mean any offense.
Game Master Anthony's a fucking tender lover, dude. I bet he knows how to respect his queen.
He's a giver, for sure.
This guy does not.
Dude, no one's going to understand Game Master Anthony. We're going to get like 2,000 replies in the Reddit like, who the fuck is Game Master Anthony?
Bro, I was playing Fortnite last night. My girl wanted to kiss me. I said, if you do that shit in Infinity War, I'm taking Jesse.
Wait, so I just assumed in this text that Jesse was a guy and not a girl. Did you guys think it's a girl?
It's spelled the male way. Well, maybe girls can have it, but typically when I see Jesse, it's J-E-S-S-I-E, but this one's J-E-S-S-E. So that's just an assumption.
I just assumed Jesse's a dude.
Jesse's an all-time good name.
Why couldn't he have bought Jesse a third ticket? Couldn't he just gone with like another friend?
Jesse's just not going to go now.
I just fucking love Jeff's story of The Last Jedi, where he went and they bought fucking buffer seats around them as to not be disturbed. Like that's next level movie going.
Thought about doing it for Infinity War, but no, we didn't. Ken Jack and I might be seeing that a week from tomorrow.
Might.
A little early showing.
Mm.
Fingers crossed.
Trill likes that because Trill will want us to spoil the whole movie for him.
Now, I don't care as much. I won't find out as much as Infinity War. With Star Wars, I just had to know, dude. I had to know.
That was pretty funny.
It's like I had a huge blister that you just needed a hot pen stuck in it and drained.
Oh. Yeah, you were begging for those spoilers.
Spoiler. All right,
questions
daddy.
Time. Let's answer some questions. We have some pretty good ones. There's one I want to not answer, but say we're going to do a segment in the future. It's what movie characters would be on your heist team. We'll do that when Ocean's 8 comes out. That'll be a fun little segment. Also, we get a lot of these questions. Will you guys ever do blank, like horror movie rankings or, you know, MCU rankings? Like, we're going to do that. Yes, there are plenty of segments down the road. So when you ask those questions, it does help put some things in our head. But we plan on doing all of those types of rankings and commentary. But here you go. More troubling relationship: Shape of Water, Josh Gad and Qbert, or 13 Going on 30?
Probably Josh Gad and Qbert.
Oh, for sure. I don't even know why. Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Because they had babies, dude. That was fucking weird.
Yeah, that was... Like, there wasn't much that could have made that movie more bizarre. I will say, Peter Dinklage's character looking into the White House and seeing Serena Williams and the other celebrity that he wanted to sleep with, that was like his rules of like helping out the world, that was pretty weird. And then on top of that, Josh Gad and Ashley Benson's character having Qbert babies was just fucking... That was next level.
That was odd. I'm trying to think of the 13 going on 30. It was Mark Ruffalo, right? Was he the...
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo and Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, but she got transported to be older to the future, but she was still mentally 13. And so she'd be mentally 13 and like Mark Ruffalo is trying to like chase after her. He was the nerdy next door neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of weird, but that's also in that like romantic comedy universe where nothing like ever bad really happens. But
well, it's like it happens in Big too. He has a relationship with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. My parents, when I watched Big with my parents, they covered my eyes during the kissing scene. I remember it very vividly.
Did they cover your eyes during the piano scene too? Thought it was just too much for you.
Don't give them any bad ideas.
All right, next question. Hey, related to what we talked about earlier, what video game could be made into an actually good movie? I feel like we've answered this before, but I always like saying this and bringing this up because I feel like we have different answers every time. So what video game do you think could be made into a good movie? Not, I guess, not as one that you'd want to see, but what could be made into a good movie? I still say Halo, but that's just me because you can really dumb it down to a war movie. You can really just make it a war movie. Like, you don't need to, like, I feel like that option is best. Like, what is one that, the Call of Duty movie. That's complete cheating. Like, that's just cheating. Like, making a war movie and slapping Call of Duty on it, which reminds me of Cloverfield. Like, they just made a movie. They're like, just call it Cloverfield. Just fucking add a couple things called Cloverfield. Like, that's Call of Duty, basically. So I feel like, I mean, that's why I think Halo could work. But I'll have the floor.
Yeah. I've always gone back and forth between The Last of Us. Sometimes I think it could be a really good... And, you know, for a video game, it's one of the more... Road,
Basically, man.
What's that?
Same thing we said last time, and I'm pretty sure that's basically the road, more or less.
The road. Yeah. Yeah, but the characters are really good. The issue you run into is you get 20 hours to spend with those characters in a movie. You'd have to do it 2 hours or maybe do 6 hours on a trilogy. I still think that the best chance for a good video game movie would be taking something and making a cute CGI kids movie out of it. Kind of like the Angry Birds, but take a more established property like Mario Brothers or something like that. I think you could do that. I think a live action video game is tough. I don't ever see anything like a Call of Duty movie being good. We talked about a Legend of Zelda movie, dude. Anyone who played the last Legend of Zelda game knows it's one of the greatest games of all time, but there's absolutely zero story in there. The story of Legend of Zelda is fucking stupid. And for it to be a movie, you got to at least have like somewhat of a story.
Who plays Ganondorf in that?
Adrian Brody.
I still think Halo, man. It's such a dramatic story, start to finish. For those of us who know the true Halo lore, it's a very good story. It doesn't need to be a war story. It could be a drama story about how the Spartans get turned into what they are. It's very dramatic. You should read up more in the books. Eric Nyland's story is amazing. Just say.
Hey guys, here's a random question: what movie studio has the best pre-movie role? I think it's Universal, right? Dun, 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 boom, boom. And then the world's turning and the Universal thing comes over.
That's a pretty good one. I mean, the 20th Century Fox fanfare is fairly iconic.
Bing! I like the Universal, though.
Yeah, I'm going to Universal as well.
Yeah, there's just something about...
Yeah.
Anyway, I only say that because imagine Ken Jack just creaming his pants when that like that fanfare comes on, and instead of the Universal song, it's
what they do with the Universal logo now is they change it up based on what the movie is. So they would have like Halo Easter eggs in the
Wasn't there a video game movie that like had like an 8-bit sound like Universal intro or something? What am I thinking of?
They might have done that in Pixels.
It may have been Pixels.
Dude, if they did the Universal thing and it panned over Reach instead of Earth, oh man, it'd be cummies in the pants for sure.
Dude, my favorite part about this podcast is we're a movie podcast, but we've already referenced Pixels like 8 times in this one fucking podcast, just unprompted.
We're big time movie boys.
We are. Yeah, big times. No, I'm with Ken Jack Halo on that one. Here's a little scenario. Got a couple scenarios on here, I think. Would you rather have to watch a Ryan Gosling movie every other movie you watch or never see him in anything ever again?
That's a good question.
It depends on how many movies you see, too. If you see like 6 a year, then, I mean, you're going to see a lot of Ryan Gosling movies in terms of like how many you see throughout the year. But like if you see as many as we do, I don't think that's a big, it's like a blip on the radar. Not a big deal.
That's hard. I think I'd go with the seeing Ryan Gosling movies. I think that's a sacrifice I would make.
Yeah, same. Especially after Blade Runner.
Especially if he's fucking looking like he did in Crazy Stupid Love. My God. Just fucking kill me, Daddy.
I'm excited for First Man. Oh, man. There's a scenario question on our Reddit that we're going
to
Neil
Armstrong went to Purdue. You guys should know that.
There's a question on our Reddit that we're going to make into a longer segment because I think it's a really interesting discussion. It's if you were offered $1 million to watch the same movie for 48 straight hours, which do you choose? So we'll do a little segment on that maybe this week or next week, and we'll talk about like the top ones we choose and then the ones we would like least want to have to watch over and over for. And apparently, okay, no, you can't go on your phone, you can't sleep, you can go to the bathroom, and you can get like movie snacks. So good question. We'll answer that at length. I feel like that's an interesting topic. Have you ever walked out of a movie? I have once. And I've told that story before The Happening, but I kind of got kicked out. So actually, and I also walked out on Pirates of the Caribbean 3 because my friend made me leave.
Yeah, I've walked out on a few of them. Sometimes because the movie was bad. I don't remember the last time that happened, but the most recent time I've walked out of a movie was, I'd say it was probably 4 years ago. And I got a notification on my phone from a drop cam that my dog got out of the crate. And so there was a puppy at this point. And so we had to watch it just shit all over the place as we drove home. So we had to leave the movie early because we knew the dog was going to shit, but then he ended up shitting everywhere anyway. I forget. I think it might've been the first 50 Shades movie. I don't know. Good question. No, you know what it was? It was Lucy.
Oh, wow. You went
Scarlett to Scarlett Johansson, wow. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the movie.
I never walked out on one. I think it's just because I'm too much of a cheap fuck. When I'm like, I can't justify wasting even a dollar on something like that. And it's never been a movie where I'm like, this is so awful that I would need to leave. I think all those movies I've either streamed or something like that.
Here's a hypothetical. I like this hypothetical a lot. Though I feel like our answers may vary here because, Trill, you're not as big in the Marvel as Ken, Jack, and I. Hypothetical, you get 0.5% of the money Infinity War makes. So if it makes $2 billion, that's $10 million. However, you never get to see any Marvel movie ever again, and you never find out what happens in them.
Like, money. Oh, I'm good. I'm good with that. Give me the fucking money. I'm gone. I'm not watching another fucking movie. I'm not watching another fucking movie. You give me $10 million, I'm gone, dude.
Yeah, I'm in the wind. I'm in the wind with that money.
So what?
I would do it for $500,000. No, you want it, for me to never watch another Marvel movie. I would do at this point in my life. I'd do it for $100,000. So $10 million, fine.
Ken, Jack, but you are a much bigger Marvel fan. So at what price point do you kind of go? Like I kind of just want to know what happens in these fucking movies. Because I mean, I feel like you're well off now. You have a good amount of money, and this is either $10 million or like $1,000. But you know it's going to eat away at you just a little bit for the rest of your life. You know, you're just going to be like, oh, fuck, what happened in Infinity War? But, like, you physically are not able to know what happened.
Give me, like, a Jeep Rubicon or, like, a Tesla, and I'm in the wind. That's it. I'll never watch another Marvel again.
Fucking Jeep Rubicon?
I'm a big fan. It's just a matte black Jeep Rubicon. That's what I want.
Black vehicle, dude. Damn.
Yeah.
We're living in 2018. You're living in 2012. I like it. right, I think, you know what? I think I'd do that for $50,000.
So that's the question.
I wouldn't do it for 10. I might do it for 20. I think I'd definitely do it for $30,000.
Okay. So yeah, how much money would it take? How much money would it take for you to never watch a Marvel movie or know what happened again? So you say 30?
30,000 for me.
Ken, Jack, you said a Tesla. So that's gotta be like mid thirties, yeah, like, as well.
Like $30,000. I don't know.
Untaxed. So full amount.
Yeah. That's very, make that very clear right now. Untaxed, lump sum, untaxed.
That was a good question. That's one of my favorite questions we've gotten yet. That was good. More, I'm not saying the questions are bad, but I like scenarios like that. Make us think. Make our little pea brains think. Yeah, I don't know. I would probably say I'm just such a movie freak. I'd say probably 100,000. It's got to be like a good year's salary. Like 20,000, like I can go buy a scratch ticket and maybe like one out of a million get a chance to win that. So
you got to think about like this. It's got to be enough money to service your outstanding debt and then give you enough money left over to do something nice with it. Right. Because otherwise, if you say like $10,000, I'm like, oh, I got to pay off the rest of my fucking student loans that are still outstanding 10 years later. So no, that sounds miserable to me. But if it was like 30, I mean, you know, get like a little down payment on a matte black Jeep Rubicon.
Yeah, like if it's not either enough to cover a year's rent, like I'm still gonna be having to pay shitty rent 6 months later, and then everyone around me is gonna be like, oh shit, Infinity War. Like, oh, we can't tell Jeff though, can't tell him what happened. It would
$10,000 disappears very quickly.
Yeah,
sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but man, unless they fucking, you're fine and don't have any bills to pay, it goes very quickly. Like, that's double what I paid for my surgery. You know, it was a very luxurious surgery.
Here's a good one. How far would each of you make it realistically in the Hunger Games, and what would your first weapon be?
It's like hiding like a bitch a power or weapon, because I do that in Fortnite all the time.
Like PETA, like when he was a cake guy and he like painted himself like a tree and hid. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking, he could use icing, so he's like a world class artist. He fucking camouflaging himself.
No, like, every time I think about the fact that like PETA was basically the cake boss in the Hunger Games, like it always gets a nice boss.
Don't you know who I am?
I think I'd survive the initial. I'd survive the initial spawn, but I would die the first day.
Yeah,
like I think I like, unless I think I'd run away from that. Hide. Yeah, but even if I had an axe, I'm pretty sure like I would just get fucking destroyed by like one of those like District 2 people or something like that. Super soldiers.
Well, do we get to pick any weapon we want, or we have to pick a weapon from that universe?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can't. No, because like you can't have a gun. Like when you go into that, like you can't do that.
Why not, man?
An Apache helicopter.
Ken Jack would just like the biggest game breaker. He just has a gun just right in the beginning of Hunger Games. Someone's got like a little wooden spear.
I have like an Abrams tank just driving around the field, fucking obliterating 2-year-old kids.
That'd be great if like somebody's weapon was just a fucking car. Like yeah. Just drove a car. Like Ken Jack has a Tesla just driving around the Hunger Game.
With the it's actually the fucking DeLorean with the cattle catcher on it.
Dude, that'd be great. If I get to pick my weapon, that's my weapon. I want a fucking tank or something. Then I'll survive. I'll last a while with a tank.
What if your weapon was Elon Musk and then a few crates of materials?
I don't even think he knows how to make anything, does he?
He's an electrical engineer. He can probably solder software, though, no? He can solder a microchip to a fucking motherboard. That's about it.
Well, kids are fucking chopping at him with axes.
I'm making the same argument you are. Like, he won't be useless if you gave him a few materials. Like, he's not fucking MacGyver.
In, like, a decent amount of time. He's going to build a fucking flamethrower while other people are trying to kill him?
Do you think if you gave Elon Musk all the components to his flamethrower, he could actually build it himself?
No.
I don't think he could.
No, absolutely not. He'd blow himself up.
Remember when you thought he sounded like Kermit the Frog?
Dude, I had no idea what he sounded like. I just assumed he had an European accent of some kind. So I just was like, I don't know. So he's Kermit the Frog now. That was a great skit. That was one of my favorite skits, and it was one of our first.
Yeah.
The weapon I'd probably take into the Hunger Games. Yeah, I'd be bad with all those weapons, dude. I can barely even fire a handgun accurately. So there's no way I'm shooting a bow.
Yeah. I don't know. What do they have, like fucking trident? Like, I don't know. I would need to see the full list of the armor.
Trident?
One of
somebody
them
actually has a trident. Yeah, somebody did have a trident.
Yeah.
For some reason, yeah. I feel like, I'm thinking of PETA with a trident. I don't know why, but...
The Water District guy had one, because that was like his spiel, I think, in the second one.
I still like the Catching Fire was fantastic. I love that movie. Then it just went downhill after that.
I would want a gun that shoots tracker jackers. It's a B gun, dude.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Just a bee gun.
It just fucking fires. It just expels bees out 100 yards away from me. Big cloud of bees.
Okay, Hunger Games. Good question. I like that question. Another good question. Here you go. We haven't answered this one, I don't think. For or against clapping at the end of a movie?
Against.
Against.
Unless it's a premiere and somebody who is involved in making the movie is there. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I get that people enjoyed the movie and they're trying to show respect to the movie, but there's nobody there to observe that respect. I don't understand it. Unless you're clapping at the projectionist.
Same people that clap when a plane lands.
No, now you're getting...
No, I would do that if it was a rough flight. I would do that if it was a rough flight, and it's just like everyone's way of showing that, like, we didn't die. You know, I respect that.
It's like his job. Would you like clap your hands to like somebody, a bus driver that avoided an accident?
No, I don't think it's to the pilot. I think it's more so like just an irrational expression of exuberance that like I did not just die in a plane.
Same thing in my mind. Don't clap.
I have noticed a lot of clapping. I've noticed a lot of clapping in theaters recently. Like a lot. Again, it wasn't the case for a while. Like you get it every once in a while. You get it for, you know, Force Awakens, you'd get it for like an Oscar worthy movie, like Birdman, people clapped at the end of, I remember. But like Ken Jack and I saw Pacific Rim, people fucking clapped at the end of that movie. Daddy's Home 2, people clapped at the end of the movie.
This is not worth
that's,
it.
That's still not annoying. I find what we had in Ready Player One, like the references guy in front of us, like B Rose, like, yes, every time he saw a reference he liked, like, I find that a lot more annoying. But there's just, it's got to be, I'll clap if it's a really, really good movie or like a great experience because that's just impulse. This is more of a question. They really want us to help them out here. I went to see Ready Player One on Saturday, and a group to my right was eating McDonald's, and the group to my left was eating Five Guys. Should I have called the cops? We've talked about hot food in movies before. We talked about it with Coley for quite a while. But any new thoughts now that we've seen even more movies about people bringing hot food like that into the theaters? Also, Ken Jack, I'm thinking we might want to try that flatbread at AMC tomorrow. I don't know why. Just give it a little taste test, a little review.
Oh, I know. We have a different food to bring in to Rampage. Don't forget.
Oh, yeah, we are. We are eating a different food in Rampage.
What, right. Chicken leg?
No.
You'll see. Is it a surprise? Oh, okay.
Right. You actually know what it is. We've talked about it, but
the Bavarian legend?
No, fuck that. I'm not doing that. I can't ever have a full one of those.
Dude, AMC should get John Legend to promote the Bavarian legend. All of me wants all this dough. Got nacho cheese and some frosting. Dijon mustard, I am tossing.
Their God, man, their popcorn with M&Ms in it on their site looks just delicious. All right, here's what they have for feature fare. Maybe we'll do a poll on this tomorrow. So they have pictures, apparently. Where's the fucking menu? Hot dogs, chicken and waffles, cookies, like very high-end pretzel bites, and then they have flatbreads. Okay, so this is what we're going to do tomorrow, Ken Jack. We're going to ask the vote for the movie, unless you don't see Isle of Dogs today. Then we're seeing Isle of Dogs. No one's going to control what we see. But we're going to put up a vote for what we should eat. I feel like we just got to do it.
All right, we're going to be full of shit if we got that other food, too.
You don't like hot dogs, right?
No.
Okay, so people are probably going to pick hot dogs. But we'll try. We'll just try one, you know.
I'm not going to fucking cry about eating a hot dog. It's just not something I order.
Yeah, no, it's not something I'd order either, yeah. One of the things in their sights is experience the legend, a joyous snack that lasts all movie long when you treat yourself to a 1.5-pound soft Bavarian-style pretzel sprinkled with coarse salt and served warm. Sprinkled with coarse salt is an understatement for Kendrick. He got an overstatement. Kendrick, the guy counted out 10 grains of salt and placed them strategically on the pretzel.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Good for him. Oh, and as for the question, I still think no hot food in theaters. It's just fucking weird. Unless you're in a dine-in, just don't do it. We had somebody once, I think one of the first movies we saw together, Jeff, someone brought in like a full-ass pizza, like from that pizza truck that was outside the theater. Like, what the fuck? Just get popcorn, man. That's what the theater is for. You don't bring Chipotle into the theater. You don't bring McDonald's into the theater.
No protein items.
Exactly. The smell permeates everywhere, and you're ruining everyone else's time because now everyone else wants McDonald's instead of to watch like Pacific Rim 2. So just being a real asshole if you do that.
Unfortunately, though, there's nothing you can do in that situation.
No.
You can't tell them to stop eating the food. Like, that just puts you in a bad place. Like, it's one of those things where you have to trust society, and society will let you down sometimes.
Absolutely not. You do not say anything. We're not advocating actually like inconveniencing yourself or anybody else. We're big time like wussies on this podcast, all right? So don't do anything to anybody else in the theater for any reason.
Look at this. I'm showing Ken Jack one of the middle hot dogs here. The chili cheese dog looks okay, but they have this one hot dog in the middle with like cauliflower, carrots, celery. That looks fucking disgusting. Oh my! No, what? No.
Yeah, that's some like that. That's just some quality relish. It's just pickled,
dude. That's
peppers and
carrots.
Yeah, that's relish.
The chili cheese dog. Dude, also, their burger looks not half bad either.
Oh, that's, is this all at RAMC?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's the promo photos. So the time you get the actual food, it's going to be looking like a enlarged White Castle.
So yeah, hot food movies, I don't know. Unless you get it from the place. I do find that weird. When we ordered our Bavarian Legends, the guy was making a flatbread in between pretzels. So people get it.
Flatbread doesn't sound as offensive to me as like a burrito or fries. But I don't know. Especially I still want to go to the Alamo Draft House.
So, I mean, I've talked about it. So Alamo started in Austin. So I've been to Alamo before, and the popcorn's okay, and it's good food. But that's not my type of movie experience. It's not. I find it distracting. And they're very good. The waiters and waitresses there are fantastic. They're very quiet. They don't bother you. But I still find the whole charade of it distracting. Some of them are very nice though. Those are some very nice theaters.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Show old theaters.
old clips before the movie. So they'll show like things related to the movie before the movie starts.
I was trying to think of a meme yesterday. So I was listening to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, which, by the way, if you don't know, Trill Ballins is a play on words for Phil Collins. But just a little tip. And he got to the point where it was like, "And I know the reason why you keep the silence up." And I was trying to fit that in with Quiet Place. So I was trying to think of like a good meme to do that with. But, you know, if anybody can help me on that one, let me know. Anybody? Is it just kind of like a failure DOA type deal?
No, I mean,
I couldn't workshop it. This has been workshopping memes.
All right. So that's about that. Remember to enter the Infinity War death pool. You have just a little over 2 weeks now. It's a lot of signups still. That's a fun one. Other than that, we got nothing.
Good episode.
Just go see Rampage. Yeah, good questions. Love the scenario too. Questions. Yeah, I love dogs as well. I love dogs and Rampage. We're all excited. Please vote on Twitter for what Ken, Jack, and I should A, eat, and B, see. After we see Rampage tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. Other than that, folks, you guys got anything else?
Have a good Monday, guys and ladies, big time movie people. Attack this week like Dwayne the Rock Johnson would. Positivity. Keeping the big time movie boy mindset. You know what I'm talking about?
That mindset.
The big time movie boy mindset. Please buy Neurotropics. Yeah.
Trying to keep it positive, man. That's going to be my next lot in life, is I'm just going to do inspirational pump-up videos on Instagram.
You're just going to be here the next Tony Robbins?
Oh, God.
I'm not going to stop until I buy the Indianapolis Colts. It's like, didn't you steal that from somebody? No. I am completely original.
That's it. Buy your tickets. Go to the movies. See Rampage. See Isle of Dogs. We're going to review that later in the week. For Ken, Jack, and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. Good night or good morning. Sound the alarm, it's time to cross the line. Stop me, stop me. Oh, somebody stop me. Stop me, stop me. Please, somebody stop me. Stop me, stop me. Oh, somebody stop me. And Lord, if I'm doing it wrong, then please stop me. Turn the mirror around. I don't like what I see. I'm double blinking now. Visine, I mean, it's getting clearer.